move on to our next case, Dabberton versus HCR Manor Care, Ms. Link. Ms. Link?
May it please the court, Janet Link for the appellant defendant. The committee's decision to deny Mrs. Dabberton's severance benefits claim was not arbitrary and capricious. The committee determined that Ms. Dabberton's assumption of a greater scope of duties, responsibilities, authorities, functions,
I hope you didn't draft this thing. But it is hard to imagine a more broadly drafted provision. I mean, you have good reason with a significant reduction in the scope of a participant's authority, position, title, functions, duties, or responsibilities. Well, surely the scope of her responsibilities was diminished. She lost a lot of budgetary authority. She lost her central division. Her duties her functions were contracted. So, you could easily have drafted this in a way that would allow your committee to deny her this severance, but I don't know how this language can be narrowed.
You are correct, Your Honor, about the breadth of the language, but it's certainly true that after the merger, Ms. Dabberton lost the Illinois Central Division of her job. But it's also undisputed.
Well, that wasn't all she lost, right?
She lost the central division with its beds and facilities, and concurrent with that,
It wasn't just that.
It seems to me that the problem is that although Manor Care expanded her hands-on job responsibilities, it did so in a way that decreased the prestige or status of her former job. I mean, most people view the more hands-on tasks in a job economy as being lower in status than those managerial positions where one is out of the fray of day-to-day operations. The jobs that Manor Care added were not akin to those it took away, and so the result would be viewed by most as a net reduction in the scope or status of her job.
There were other vice president general managers at Manor Care after the merger. Those individuals had the same status in the sense that they were also asked to do the same general manager.
No, wait a second. If you reduce everybody's status, that doesn't get you out of there. Let me ask you this way, give a more dramatic version of Judge Rovner's question. Suppose I said to you, look, we're taking away the central division, but we're giving you more duties in the western division. We're trying to cut staff, we're trying to economize. So what we'd like you to do is, in addition to being the vice president, we'd also like you to clean the toilets in the western division. So that's an expansion. Okay, your responsibilities are being changed. You used to have the western and central. Now you have the western plus toilet cleaning. So would this be, on your view, just a reshuffling of her duties, or would this be a good reason for her to quit?
I think, Your Honor, that it would be a good reason, and the committee alluded to that in its written opinion. But that's not what happened here.
I understand it didn't happen. Now, what was the basis for the committee's interpretation that would distinguish those two cases? What is it in this language that would enable the committee to distinguish those two cases?
I think that the distinction is that certainly what Judge Rovner was alluding to as to status or position in the organization, if what they did was effectively take her to a janitorial position.
No, all vice presidents would remain vice presidents with managerial responsibilities, but they have narrower areas, smaller divisions, because they had to devote some of their time to cleaning the toilets.
I think that if they had to devote a substantial amount of their time to cleaning the toilets...
Not a lot of time, no. It's just a few hours a week.
I think that that is a significant reduction in the scope of her position that would be good reason for termination.
Why?
Because she went from being an officer of a company with the fiduciary duties of that officer to being a janitor.
She's still vice president. She just does the toilet cleaning a few hours. Just the way she's a vice president and she's also a general manager.
I think, Your Honor, that to the extent that there was a substantial portion of her time that was going to toilet cleaning, that would be a significant reduction. It might be a different story if she...
Why is it any different? Look, a general manager is a lower form of corporate life than a vice president. So if you're a vice president, you used to be a vice president presiding over two divisions. Now you're a vice president presiding over one division, and you're also this lower form of life that does just, you know, managerial stuff. Why is that also a diminution in the scope of her functions, authority, and so on?
Your Honor, I'm not certain that I think that being a general manager is a lower form of life. These questions are...
All right, let's bring this closer to home. Suppose we're judges of the Seventh Circuit. We have authority over Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. That there's a rearrangement, that we're going to spend half of our time doing the duties of being a bankruptcy judge. I'm trying to name something. There's no lower form of judicial life. Half the time you're a bankruptcy judge, and because half of your time is taken up being a bankruptcy judge, your appellate authority is now only over Illinois. Wisconsin and Indiana have been handed off to the Sixth Circuit, right? Do you think that would be viewed as a reduction in status or responsibility for a judge?
I think that it poses a very difficult question, and I think that...
difficult question under this language? Under this language?
Under this language, I think we should all quit and get paid off. I've been encouraging Congress to pass that law.
I think, Your Honor, that the standard of review here is very important in that we vest the discretion to make these hard calls.
Yeah, the standard of review. We'll come back to that. But would you have any doubt that in my hypothetical, you know, half of the, we're now going to be an appellate judge half the time and with half the territory and spend the other half of the time as a trial judge? Right? A perfectly responsible position. People queue up to be bankruptcy judges or district judges. But one might think that under language like that, that would be a material reduction, right? And now my question is, didn't Dabberton have the very same kind of reduction? She gets a portfolio, her appellate portfolio, her top managerial portfolio is cut in half, and she has more hands-on responsibility, right? It looks like the same kind of thing. And if you're in no doubt about it for appellate judges turned into bankruptcy judges, you should be in no doubt about it here. And if that's so, then one wonders what the scope of review is going to do, because it seems to be pretty straightforward, does it not?
I don't agree, Your Honor, that it's so straightforward. I think that if in your hypothetical, if you were to lose appellate duties, but you pick up other duties of a bankruptcy judge, and so do your brethren, that you continue to have, there's not a significant reduction in the scope of your duties and responsibilities. You've lost some and picked up others.
Right.
Well, remember, there's another term here, authority. scope of authority would clearly be diminished in Judge Easterbrook's hypothetical. It was diminished for Dapperton because she used to have authority over two divisions. Now she has authority over one, although she also has some lesser duties in the one.
Although in Judge Easterbrook's hypothetical, in the first situation, the court would have appellate authority, but it didn't previously have authority to sit as a bankruptcy court, and then it got the authority to sit as a bankruptcy court.
And have other appellate judges say, no, bankruptcy judge, you were wrong. Where once we have the power to say, no, you are wrong, others will have the power to say to us, no, you are wrong. Do you really think that anyone would consider that a promotion rather than a demotion?
The ultimate insult would be to have the bankruptcy judge decisions reviewed by the Ninth Circuit. At that point, one could speak no lower.
Authority means authority over, power over. And there's no way in which being given... So her authority was diminished when her area shrank.
But she did not have the authority to act as a general manager before the merger and got that authority.
But that's the lower. But the vice president is above the general manager. So when she was vice president of two divisions, she was over the general manager of both.
Do you view the progression for managerial work to hands-on work as an increase in status?
I think in corporate America today, where there's a flattening of the way that we're adjusting our officers and managers, that's not as easy a question as it might have been to answer before. I think that in the way that corporate America is flattening these types of positions and demanding more hands-on type management.
Sure, flattening is the whole point. She got flattened down.
I'll give
you another version of Judge Eastman. Suppose the military said, we want our generals to be more hands-on. So there'll be generals throughout the week, but on weekends there'll be sergeants. There weren't sergeants before. So you would say, well, now they have a new kind of authority. They're commanding a squad.
They have a new kind of authority. They're on equal footing with the other generals.
Right.
So
you think there's no diminution in the scope of their authority in
no.
that case?
No.
All right. Now, about the scope of review, one thing that I found very curious here, this fellow Ormond, is that his name, Ormond?
Yes, Ron.
It seems to be that as a member of the committee, he doesn't just read the language of section 1.8 and apply it to the facts. He tells the other members of the committee, in effect, that he has sort of secret legislative history. He knows what he had in mind and what his boss had in mind when they discussed this provision, and that they had Dapperton in mind, and that they didn't intend that she would be able to walk away. Now, does that rather contaminate the adjudicative process of the committee?
I don't think.
Well, what would it mean if you could have a severance provision or any other provision in an employment contract, which if anyone read it, they'd say it means X, Y, or Z. But then the board says, oh, it looks like X, Y, or Z, but actually I meant A, B, and C. And that would mean that the employees wouldn't have any rights at all.
It's permissible, Your Honor, to look under the court's opinion to look at the purpose of the plan, which was the court.
It's fine to look at the purpose of the plan, but Ormond is saying, in effect, look, we thought about Dapperton, and we didn't intend this to give her any rights. On its face, it seems to give her rights, but without telling her, Ormond had already decided that it didn't apply to her. So what does that do to the neutrality and objectivity of the committee?
I don't think, though, Your Honor, that it ended up being a foregone conclusion. The committee did discuss her position paper, and they did discuss their rationale. And although it is true that Mr. Ormond discussed the purpose of the plan, as the precedent says is a valid consideration, that wasn't the only thing they discussed. They discussed the other factors as well. And he didn't tell the committee that they had to decide one way or the other. They did so after after a full discussion.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Link. Mr. Dennis?
Please, the court. I think the language you focused on has six criteria. It focuses on title, position, authority, responsibilities, functions, or duties. We don't have to win under all six. It's not an and. It's set in a disjunctive or. Fulfillment of any one of those criteria suffice. And as Your Honor stated quite cogently, the authority criteria alone, the facts were undisputed. There are at least eight areas that district court identified from the record, the factual record, in which there was a significant reduction in the scope of Judy Davidson's authority. They ranged from independent capital authority going from $6 million to zero, hiring and firing authority being lost both in Chicago and in Pleasant Hill, California. Independent authority to manage her total budget was eliminated. Her authority for 20 construction projects were discontinued. They eliminated her decisional authority over 50 projects. Her budget authority went from $4.1 million to $250,000. Her authority for advertising, public relations, consulting, meetings, they were entirely eliminated. The district court also found that in 60 assigned areas, she went from 60 to 22. There was no controverting facts regarding that authority issue. Now, the key language in the language is written is a significant reduction. Reduction means reducing the amount being reduced. Significant is something that's meaningful. With respect to Judy Davidson, it was both meaningful and there was a reduction. There was a reduction in both the amount in terms of the number, the volume, percentage-wise, dollar-wise, volume-wise. She went from $232 million in budget to $114 million in budget. She went from 47 facilities to almost half that, 50% reductions across the board. That is significant, that is meaningful, and they were reductions. The defendants do not dispute any of the findings of fact that the judge made. Now, what the defendants have done is, throughout the prior proceedings, in the district court level, and in fact, into this opening brief of this court, and in its first 13 pages of its reply brief, the defendants took the position that the term scope meant something different than the ordinary and popular meaning of the word scope. Now on page 14, footnote 7 of the defendant's brief, the defendants now say that the word scope means what the court below defined it as. And the court below defined the term scope in the ordinary and popular sense. And again, I refer you to footnote 14, page 14, footnote 7 of the reply brief, where they changed their position for the first time. The trial court concluded that, and it defined what the term scope would be, is to mean the common measures of that vice president's authority, functions, duties, and responsibilities over and involving beds, facilities, employees, budgets, duties, and responsibilities. And that in the ordinary popular sense, and again, quoting from the district court's decision, that the number of beds, facilities, projects, and direct reports would define the scope or extent of such an employee's, extent of the employee's authority, position, or responsibility. And what the defendants are now arguing, they're accepting the concept of the word scope, they're accepting the definition given by the trial court in terms of the ordinary popular meaning of the term scope, and what they're saying is that her job got more difficult, it got harder. They used the word harder in the trial court briefs and their post-trial briefs to the district court. That's what they argued, that it got harder, it more intensified, more time was spent. But the word scope is defined in an ordinary and popular meaning doesn't include the manner in which you do your job. It doesn't include the management style. It doesn't include whether or not you had hands-on style, the intensity or the time you spend on the job. For a reasonable layperson like Mrs. Davidson, who had to make a quick decision based on the Article 3 trigger clause, she had to decide within 3 months whether these changes, and it's undisputed that these changes occurred, she had to decide within those 3 months whether or not she was going to continue working or whether she was going to give notice and give up her job. She had to change her position. She detrimentally relied on the plain written language that the language is written. She relied on it to her detriment. And the district court, after having a bench trial and giving the defendants the benefit of the doubt, allowing them to supplement the record, which is a highly unusual thing, but they argued for supplementing the record, and letting their chairman, Mr. Orman, who was a witness and a biased witness, testify, district court's conclusion that what they did was downright unreasonable. That was not in error. I have nothing further unless you have any questions, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dennis. Ms. Link, your time ran out, but if you'd like a minute to rebut, you may. Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.